Our scripture reading, to which I invite you to turn with me at this time, is found in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, beginning in the 12th verse. After the books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, you'll soon come to the so-called major prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. We read God's word, Isaiah 40, 12 through 31. I draw your special attention, brothers and sisters, to our text, as that is constituted by verses 30 and 31. But we begin reading in Isaiah 40, verse 12. Let us hear then the word of the Lord. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. And as always, dear friends, I ask and urge you to keep your Bibles open and handy as we look to God's word together today. Dear congregation of Jesus Christ, just about 1 month ago, on Tuesday, May 1, 2018, I came across an incredibly fascinating article on the front page of the USA Today. The headline on the front page is entitled, interestingly enough, "The Young, Not the Elderly, Are Loneliest." Think about that. The young, not the elderly, are loneliest. Subtitled, "Isolation Among Those 18 to 22 Triggers Alarm." The accompanying article reads in part, and I quote, listen carefully please. "Young people are far more likely than senior citizens to report being lonely and in poor health, according to a survey of 20,000 Americans released on Tuesday. The overall national loneliness score was 44 on a scale of 20 to 80, showing a prevalence of social isolation among those aged 18 to 22. The younger people, part of Generation Z, had loneliness scores of about 48 compared with nearly 39 for those 72 and older. The study was sponsored by insurer Cigna, which is concerned about loneliness, not just as a societal problem, but also as a health matter. It can literally make people sick. Loneliness has the same effect on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which makes it even more dangerous than obesity, according to Cigna." End of quote. Friends, think about that. Loneliness. Loneliness. You know, interestingly enough, some 2,700 or so years ago, The people of Judah in the southern kingdom, the people of Israel in the northern kingdom were feeling incredibly lonely. In fact, in the prophecy of Isaiah, he prophesies that the northern kingdom was about to fall to the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC. He prophesied that some years to come, in 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah would fall to the mighty king Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire. And the people were beginning to feel as if God had forgotten them, God had forsaken them. In fact, that is why in verse 27 of Isaiah 40, look with me please, the text says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?" They felt forgotten. They felt forsaken. They felt lonely, spiritually and personally speaking. Great reformer John Calvin has said of them, and I quote, "They thought God did not care about them," as often happens in afflictions. Think about that. They thought that God did not care about them, as often happens in afflictions, end of quote. And that's true. In fact, have you ever felt forgotten or forsaken by God? Have you ever felt lonely? I have. And friends, if you do not feel that way today, I assure you that given all of the sorrows and struggles and trials and tribulations and pressures and pains of life, the day will come, no matter what our age, when we do in fact feel that way. But friends, praise be to God that even when those kinds of circumstances come, even when those kinds of grievous emotions fill our souls and our hearts and seemingly overflow from the very essence of our being, there is reason for hope. And indeed, there is even reasons for rejoicing. Even at those times when even youths grow weary. Now, how can that be? Why is that so? Well, as we begin to work our way through the words of our text together in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31, we're going to consider that reality or that theme, first of all, from the vantage point of the reality. We're going to consider that theme of when even youths grow weary from the vantage point of the reality. For example, look at verse 30 of Isaiah 40 with me, if you would please. Here the Holy Spirit-inspired prophet says, "Even youths." Now notice that, even youths. If you're as old as I am or older than I am, you might understand why. You might grow weary or tired. But here it says, even youths. Boys and girls, young people, male, female. Even youths grow tired. Stay with me. The Hebrew is ya'af. Y-A apostrophe A-P-H. Ya'af. They grow ya'af. What does ya'af mean? It means being tired to the point of fainting. In fact, I think the King James Version uses the word faint there, even youths faint, if I'm not mistaken. It means growing tired to the point of literally fainting. Even youths, ya'af, even youths grow tired and weary. And young men, stay with me. The Hebrew literally has a definite article, and it literally reads even the young men. Why the difference? Well, the young men means the young men who are especially strong. The young men who are especially vigorous. The young men who are especially mighty and could be expected to endure. In fact, the commentators say that the word "the young man" is a reference to the kind of young man that would be recruited into military service. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. And the Hebrew conveys a sense of falling badly, falling suddenly, falling utterly. There's no way they can even help themselves. Think about that. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, or utterly fall. And why do you think that's true? Why do you think that's true? Matthew Henry has an interesting thought on that question, and he says this, and I quote, he says, "The youths and the young men are strong, but are apt to think of themselves as being stronger than they are." Young people, listen to that. Interesting. The youths and the young men are strong, but are apt to think of themselves as being stronger than they are. My young friends, did you ever find yourself rushing through your days, day after day, day after day, maybe late into the night, up early the next day, and you press on and you press on amidst all of the challenges you're facing, all the burdens you bear, all the stresses and strains you face, even as a boy or girl, a young person or young adult, and you drive yourself and you drive yourself and you drive yourself nearly to the point of collapse, or even to the point that you do collapse. In fact, I'd like to illustrate that possibility and that point this way. In my growing up years, I was very close with one of my cousins. We were about the same age. In fact, we were born a week apart. And growing up through the grammar school years, we were like best friends in many ways. Families got together at the holidays, and one of my fondest memories of him was when we graduated eighth grade together, Eastern Christian Junior High School on North 8th Street. And I have a picture of he and I standing at our graduation cake. Our families had gotten together. We're really close. We go into high school, and I went to Eastern Christian High School in North Hailden, and he went to a public high school in Bergen County. And he got on with a party crowd. And by the way, you can get into a party crowd in a Christian school as easy as you can get into a party crowd in a public school. Let us not mistake anything about that. But he went to a public high school, we got into a party crowd, got into drugs, and we just started taking divergent paths in life. Grew apart, not much contact with each other. And a time came when he dropped out of high school. He actually ran away from home for a time. He came back, got a job with my uncle's company, worked long hours, worked like crazy. In fact, he became very successful materially. Working like crazy, long days every day. And then one day he worked from early in the morning till, I guess, about dinner time, early evening. And he went out with his friends and had a good time. And around midnight or so, they decided to take a drive down to the Jersey Shore. Took one of my uncle's work pickup trucks. They go down the parkway early in the morning, 1, 2 o'clock. And my cousin fell asleep at the wheel. Just exhausted. And as he fell asleep, he stepped on the gas. And the pickup truck ran full speed into the back of a tractor trailer. And the tractor trailer shaved off the top of the pickup truck. Just gone. They were all sleeping. By the grace of God, they all lived. But my cousin was seriously injured. So I went over to the Valley Hospital to see him. Went up to his room. His older brother had been there before I got there, and when he saw him, he fainted. And I said to him, "Wow, look at you." I said, "But praise God you're alive. Praise God you lived." I said, "Man, you need to get right with the Lord. You need to get right with the Lord." To this day, I don't know if he did. To this day, I don't know if he is. I just know what happened to that seemingly indestructible, immortal young man. Friends, I share that personal account with you, which is very emotional for me to remember, simply to prove this reality. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men, the vigorous, strong young men, stumble and fall. That's the reality. Ah, but notice, as our text continues, it moves us beyond the reality to the recourse, to the recourse. My young friends, a recourse means a source of help or strength, a source of help or strength. The recourse. Let's look at the text once again. Look with me, please. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but one of the greatest words in all of Scripture, but those who hope in. Those who hope in. Stay with me. If you're taking notes in the Hebrew, it is the word kavah. Q-A-V-A-H. Q-A-V-A-H. Those who hope in. Those who kavah. And it means to hope in. It means to wait for, or it means to look to. To hope in, to wait for, or to look to. But those who kavah, those who hope in the Lord, notice the four capital letters, Yahweh, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God of Israel who loved us so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord. Now think about that. You know, the psalmist David in Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, puts it this way. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, David says this. He says, I waited patiently. It's the same word, kavah. I waited patiently for the Lord, Yahweh. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. If you're in the Psalms with me, flip over, please, to Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. The psalmist says, be still, literally cease striving. Someone has paraphrased that by saying, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Be still, cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 130, if you're in Psalms with me, let's go over to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. Just listen or follow along, please. Psalm 130, verse 5. He says, I wait, kavah. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Think about that. But those who hope in, wait for the Lord. You know, just this past Friday, I texted our brother Dean, who's in worship with us today. And I wanted to know how he had made out on a medical test he had scheduled. And I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to read to you the transcript of the text that Dean and I had back and forth just the other day. It's me starting out. Brother Dean, greetings. Any word on your test today? Pastor K. Dean. I'm at the MRI now, waiting to go in. Will not have results till next week. Seems like I'm always waiting, but that's how it is. Me. Thanks so much. It's funny you should mention that. My text this Sunday morning is hoping or waiting on the Lord to renew our strength. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Is it okay if you possibly just became a sermon illustration? Dean. LOL. I used to think that meant lots of love. The kids tell me it means laugh out loud. Dean, LOL, sure. Thanks, Dean. Dean is right. Life is full of waiting. We wait in line at the bank. We wait in line at the store. We wait in at a red light. We're waiting for a check to come. We're waiting for a medical report. We're waiting for a circumstance to clear up. We're waiting for a relationship to heal. We're waiting for a prayer to be answered. We're waiting for a celebration to occur. Sometimes it's really hard to wait. And many times waiting doesn't seem very productive. But friends, waiting on the Lord is different. Waiting on the Lord is incredibly powerful and productive. Waiting on the Lord can bring blessings that are greater than anything we've experienced before. Isaiah says it's our recourse. It's our recourse. When the reality hits that even youths grow weary and young men stumble and fall. But friends, as our text continues and concludes, that leads us thirdly and finally to the result. It leads us to the result. Let's look at our text one last time together. Look at verses 30 and 31 of Isaiah 40 with me, if you would please. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in, who wait for, who look to, those who hope in the Lord will. It doesn't say may, and it doesn't say might, or it doesn't say perhaps. It says will renew their strength. Will renew their strength. Now again, stay with me. That word renew in the original, if you're taking notes, is the word kalaph. You would transliterate it C-A-L-A-P-H, C-A-L-A-P-H, kalaph. And kalaph means to change or exchange for something better. It means to change or exchange for something better. In other words, to substitute one thing for another thing. In fact, interestingly enough, if you would care to turn with me, let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And turn all the way back with me, please, to Genesis chapter 35. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Genesis 35, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.' So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves,'" notice, "'and change,'" kalaf, "'change your clothes.'" Exchange one set of clothes for another. Well, friends, God is commanding us here to exchange one set of strengths for another set of strengths. He's asking us and calling us and commanding us to exchange our strength for His strength. The God who is omnipotent. The God who never tires or wearies. The God who could do all things. You see, that is why in 2 Corinthians 4, in the New Testament, if you would care to turn with me, otherwise just listen. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 9, the Apostle Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 4, 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." What treasure? The treasure of the gospel. The treasure of the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power, this all-surpassing dunamis, this all-surpassing dynamite is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. I just don't get it. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Similarly, if you're in Corinthians with me, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Here the Apostle Paul says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations," 2 Corinthians 12, 7, "there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Have you ever pleaded with the Lord three or more times to take something away from you? I have. Paul says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me," there's that word "but" again, "but He said to me, 'My grace,'" God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited, undeserved favor from God, "'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, my dunamis, my dynamite is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore," writes Paul, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." How could he possibly say that? He goes on to tell us, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." When I am weak, then I am strong. The sacred songwriter, brothers and sisters, in one of the hymns, in the Hymns for the Family of God, puts it this way. Listen carefully, please. He writes, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace." When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, Our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. All glory be to God. Go back to the text with me, if you would please, in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew. You understand that better now? We will exchange our strength, our limited strength, for his limitless strength. Those who hope in or wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They, those who wait upon the Lord, will soar on wings like eagles. I Googled eagles yesterday, and it's like eagles are one of the most powerful, majestic, longest living birds in all of creation. And as I was studying that, it occurred to me, why then, in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, the psalmist David says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth, notice, is renewed like the eagles." Renewed like the eagles. Glory be to God. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And if you're interested, that word faint translated in the NIV is the same word translated tired in verse 30, and that's why the King James translates it faint earlier in the text. Same word in the original. Friends, the RSB, the Reformation Study Bible, puts it this way, and I quote, concerning the last part of verse 31, "These verbs give a vivid picture of the spiritual transformation that comes through faith." I'm going to read that again. "These verbs, namely soar, run, walk, not be faint, not grow weary, these verbs give a vivid picture of the spiritual transformation that comes through faith." John Calvin, the great reformer, puts it this way, "The strength which God imparts to his elect people is invincible and unwearied. For men's strength easily fails, but God's strength never fails." I love that. "For men's strength easily fails, but God's strength never fails." And I want to illustrate that point this way as we close. This past Friday, when I heard the news about Gene and Busty's grandson, Brandon, I called Gene. We talked on the phone, prayed together on the phone. I called her daughter, Allison. She, in fact, was in my Campus Life Club in Wayne Valley many years ago. Talked with her on the phone. Prayed with her on the phone. Hang up the phone. And I was numb. Utterly grief-stricken. Couldn't think. Couldn't talk. Really couldn't do anything. Then all of a sudden I remembered one of the elderly saints who's here in worship with us today. I visited him just the other day. He had shared with me, I remembered, that late in the afternoon there's this program on Channel 136 cable. It's called Reflections. I'd never heard of it before. I didn't even know if it was on. I just flipped on the TV and I went to 136 and there it was, Reflections. Reflections, it's all these beautiful photography, scenery from all over the world cycling through. And as that scenery is cycling through, there's Bible verses printed on the screen. Verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. And in the background, you're hearing all these beautiful gospel hymns. Picture that. I sat there in silence probably 20, 25 minutes. Just beholding the power of God's creation, the power of our Creator, reading the scriptures, reflecting on them, hearing the music, gospel songs, beautiful hymns. And lo and behold, as the time was going on, all of a sudden I just felt my strength returning. and my spirit reviving. And I thought of these words of our text. My friend, no matter what your age, if you're tired today, if you're weary today, and especially if you have never before done so, I would ask you, I would urge you, I would pray with you, I would plead with you to repent of your sins and profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then throughout this and every day, look to Him. Hope in Him. Wait for Him. Because Jesus cried on Calvary's cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that God would never have to forsake you or me. And I assure you that to the extent that by your grace you and I hope in Him and wait for Him, as we exchange our strength for His, we will soar on wings like eagles. And we will run and not grow weary. And we will walk and not be faint. Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together in prayer. O Lord our God, as the sacred psalmist has said, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. O faithful Father, when each or any one of us run up against the reality that even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, by your grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. And Father, if there is someone here today who has never repented of their sins and professed faith in Christ, may your Holy Spirit bring them from spiritual death to spiritual life right in these moments of worship. Have them give their heart, their life to you. We pray, Father, then, having done so and joining with other family members of the family of God, we pray that you continually and graciously grant us the recourse of hoping in you and waiting upon you. For then, Lord, you have promised that you would graciously grant us the result, that then we too will renew our strength, that we may soar on wings like eagles, that we will run and not grow weary, and that we will walk and not be faint. Hear us, O holy and heavenly Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.